there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with the mayor of Morehead, Laura White Brown. Laura, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
There's a lot going on in the city of Morehead. Everybody is preparing for the Arts and Antiques event that is this weekend. It's been a while. I mean, we had an event downtown for 4th of July, which was lovely to see people out and about. Things have kind of changed a little bit. People are being, they're putting the mask back on. People are being social distancing and trying to be safe again as the Delta variant runs rampant. But this is an outdoor event, so it adds a little extra layer of protection. Tell me a little bit what people can expect downtown this weekend.
You know, it's going to look a little bit different than the Arts and Eats Festival has in the past. There's more of a focus on art itself and some kind of local vendors, handcrafted items, and a lot of antiques. A lot of vendors that travel with antiques will be set up as well. There will still be some food options there. We don't want people to think that we won't have any food downtown. There's going to be a variety of food trucks, and so I'm excited for that. My favorite part of festivals are always food, so I love that part of it. But I'm excited. You know, it'll really be a nice time for people to gather, yet gather safely, be outdoors, and still practice the precautions we need to related to COVID.
Now, speaking of COVID, there's been a lot of discussion about mandatory vaccines that is happening at the national level, and that kind of trickles down into our local communities. I know St. Clair has mandated vaccines for all of their employees. What about city employees? What is the current policy?
Currently, it is not mandated. I encourage vaccines amongst employees. They hear me encourage it quite often. We do have a mask mandate in place for city employees and city buildings and on certain jobs as well. We're kind of watching to see what the OSHA finalization requirements are as they get passed down. You know, as far as full-time city employees, we are under 100 and this vaccine mandate and or test requirement weekly is for over 100 employees. However, what we're waiting on is clarification on if we are to include seasonal and part-time employees. If that is the case, it will change what we have to do, and we'll have to kind of evaluate that as we get the guidance from OSHA.
I know here at Morehead State University, they're doing a kind of push for vaccination. They want everybody to kind of self-report and let them know how many people are vaccinated. Currently, do you know what the vaccination participation rate is for the city employees?
We are right around 50% for city employees.
Now, I know that the city council discussed during their regular meeting this week the American Rescue Plan, American Rescue Recovery monies, and the CARES Act monies. I know last time we talked, it was kind of like, we have it, we can't spend it. It's sort of here. It's coming. We're not sure. So where are we at now with those funds?
So we have received half of our allotment, which is right at about $1 million. We have that in a bank account locally. And what we're currently doing is I have asked department directors internally to submit priorities that they see that the city needs and within their department, and then justification to back up those requests and priorities as well. And from that, what I'm doing is outlining that for city council to look at, and then we will move forward with a committee to kind of itemize some of those dollars and the allocations for them. We actually, much like everything else, are still waiting on further guidance. Kentucky League of Cities is doing a training with elected officials and city employees this week, actually, with some clarification on the rescue plan funding. So I'm hopeful that will give us some ideas of how to move forward and allocate those funds.
I know $1 million kind of goes a long way for an individual, but for a municipality like Morehead, $1 million is really not that much money.
It is not. And, you know, that's something that we talked about internally a lot is at first you think, wow, we're getting this money. But when you start to put pen to paper, it has gone very, very quickly. So that's why we're really putting a focus on the needs of the community.
Are there some ideas that have already been batted around?
I'm not sure there's an idea that we haven't discussed at this point. I can tell you, there are certain areas that this money is allowed to go to, and then there's certain areas that so far we don't think that it can go to. I've been in conversation with a lot of surrounding communities, and then even some on the other side of the state, really just asking and discussing what places are doing. I am very interested in putting a good portion of this funding towards parks and recreation and as well as tourism. I think we have some opportunities and expansion for growth that I would like to see the funding go towards. And then I also am very interested in putting some of this money into some projects that we need. So whether that be, a future fire department, a future public works area, kind of some of our essential services that we don't always have at the top of the list to provide funding for.
But I guess all that's going to be decided by committee at a later date. So it'll be a group decision on where those funds go. Now, as far as future projects go, I do want to talk about the police and 911 facility. Obviously, that's the number one city project. But I have seen a lot of chatter on social media about some other things that are being built. So I noticed when I went to up to the high school, grade school facility up there. I go there to pick up my son every day and notice that it looks like something's being built beside the Dollar Tree. So can we let people know what that is yet?
We can. It was actually announced this week at the city council meeting, and it was also before the planning commission recently. So there is a tumbleweeds restaurant going in, as well as an urgent care facility on the north end of town. And there is also a Cattleman's, and they're breaking ground and starting construction on that restaurant as well.
Now, where is Cattleman's going to be?
Cattleman's is going on the Gateway Development Project area across from Kroger.
Okay. Now, I know that's a pretty big property. Are there any other things that we know for sure are coming in there? Or is it kind of, I know they have to be kept secret often for a little while.
I think they are finalizing the leases on some of that property. I know they were dividing it up into spaces and presenting that to the planning commission. And so I don't know of anything specific yet. I think they're in the final stages of some decisions, though.
Well, that's exciting. It's always nice to see new things coming in. I know that I've seen some signs for some new things that are coming in downtown as well. Do we have any opening dates with some of the new businesses that are going to be downtown?
I don't know a firm date on some of them, but I can give you the timeline that's been given to me. One, I think if you're a foodie, Moorhead is going to be the place to be, the place to visit, because we do have so many new restaurants coming to town. In the area of Pasquale's, and they are leasing that building and making a few changes. So Pasquale's will still be there, and I'm told they will still have cheese fries. I know
that's really important.
A big concern.
It's a big concern for all of us.
Yeah. But they are adding a restaurant called Hen Picked, which is a chicken restaurant, and then a restaurant called The Local Taco, which is a franchise out of Lexington as well. So all three of those restaurants will be in the storefront of Pasquale's. And I believe the last date that I heard was that they hope to open before October.
Okay.
And then one other is a restaurant called Aloha Eats, and it is a sushi restaurant, kind of sushi in a bowl type of restaurant.
Like poke bowls?
Yes, which will be going on Main Street as well in the building previously occupied by Rollover Ice Cream.
That's a small building. Is it just going to be like takeout, I guess?
I'm not sure how they're going to be set up just yet. They've got a great social media page, so I would encourage anyone interested to check them out online.
Excellent. Okay, well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
If you're downsizing and have a vehicle that doesn't run or is rarely used, donate it to the WMKY Vehicle Donation Program. Receive a tax credit and support WMKY programming at the same time. Donating is easy. Just call 855-WMKY-CAR or visit online at wmky.org. Your used vehicle will be picked up fast and conveniently. Call anytime at 855-WMKY-CAR or online at wmky.org.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Laura White Brown, the mayor here in Morehead. Laura, thanks again for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, there was a lot of things on the agenda for the city council, quite a long meeting this week. And first of all, I wanted to get an update on the police and 911 facility. I heard that, unfortunately, we're a little behind schedule.
We are, I believe we're about 30 days behind schedule right now. Unfortunately, almost all of the contractors and employees had COVID breakouts and were required to quarantine and not be on the job site. So there were some days, some weeks where there was nothing happening because of the health and safety of the employees in that area. They are back up and moving, which is exciting to see. And at the report from the construction management group at council this month, they told us that within the next few weeks, we should see the second floor going up.
Now, there's also an update with the Entertainment Destination Center. I know that it's not only Bats and Oats, but Bats and Oats has had such a glow up since the beginning of the pandemic when there were folding tables and chairs just scattered about the street. If anybody's in downtown Morehead, it's a really beautiful area. A lot of different people are utilizing the space. And last week I went down to share a pizza with my family and walked up on a huge stage that just magically appeared on Bats and Oats and got to enjoy some great live jazz music while I was there. So give us an update on the center and what's happening down there.
You know, you're right. When you think about how far we've come with that area, it started with some street barricades and folding tables out of another city rental facility. And now we have beautiful tables and flowers and string lights and a stage. And so that's really nice. The stage is actually a piece that was ordered earlier in the year and was made to order. It was delivered last week, and we had a team drive it in from Kansas, and then a group of city employees were trained on how to set up and take down and utilize the stage as well. It's quite a process, I have to say. It took about 4 hours to get it up and then get it back down. So it is a very time-consuming piece that we have, but we're very happy to have it. It is a stage that's completely mobile. So while it's on Bats and Oats right now, it's not destined to stay there. It can move around, and it's also going to be able to be rented to the public and to private entities as well. So we're currently deciding on rental fees and what those contracts look like for people when they want to use it. But we're really excited to see that travel through our community and offer different types of entertainment all over the city.
Now, one of the things that was discussed concerning that area, there's a plan, kind of a proposal, rather, to use $25,000 dedicated to promotions and entertainment in that area. I know it was supposed to be talked about, but tell me where we are in that process.
So what we have decided was the Downtown Morehead organization, their director excels in finding musical acts. That's his background. That's his knowledge. And so he is the key person in that. So what we are doing is we are having him find some entertainment options to bring into the community, and he will book those and set those up, and we'll work on utilizing the stage for those groups. And the city is going to pay those vendors to perform and hopefully bring in, you know, local entertainment, but also use it as a tourism aspect and draw people into our community and show them what we have to offer.
I know even with the smaller groups, there's a lot of people who are coming into downtown buying food, visiting the restaurants and the shops, and it does impact. People don't think about the bigger implication of just having some kind of entertainment downtown. But it seems like there are a lot of people already coming in, even for these little small, friendly acts from people who live here or live close by who are coming in. So I can only imagine what bigger name, more well-known people would bring in. And with the outdoor facility, it really opens up options for the different ways you can set it up and places you can set it up to make sure as many people as you need or anticipate can comfortably be at an event.
Absolutely. On a given day during the week, last week I noticed it myself on a Tuesday, there was music downtown. And there was over 100 people in that area just enjoying the atmosphere, the weather. People are ordering food from all over town and having it delivered to the outdoor dining area. And it's just really nice to see people of all ages, of all backgrounds, families, individuals kind of gather in this common area and be able to enjoy the community as a whole.
So there was a lot of new business that happened at the city council meeting. Several ordinances were passed. Property tax rates were set for 2022. Was there much change in those rates?
So the city voted to take the compensating rate, which is what we took last year. And I believe, historically, that's what the city does take. So that kind of keeps us up to par with what we have and what we need, but also it doesn't pour a huge increase on taxpayers as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are some things that are being discussed with the code of ethics for the county or for the city employees. There's a lot of words in this ordinance, the first reading of the ordinance. So tell me, kind of encapsulate exactly what this is for and why it's being discussed.
So actually, our ethics code has not been updated since, I believe, 1995. And so something that is important to me and I know is important to the city as well as internally amongst city employees is that we keep things like this up to date. We're also reviewing all of our city policies and our city employee handbook because it's been some time since all of that has been updated. Following KLC recommendations, these things should be updated at least every 4 to 5 years. So I'm trying to kind of bring us back up into where we need to be in today's time with these policies.
I mean, in the 90s, when it was updated before, there wasn't any social media. The world has changed immensely since that
Absolutely.
Time. As someone who was a teenager in that time, I can say that the world is very different now.
Yeah. And if you look at kind of the wording in some of that policy, social media is a big piece of that. Because it really wasn't relevant the last time we had this policy. And so updating it to really just be current has been a big piece, but also it just makes us more relevant.
Now, one of the things that was discussed that I knew nothing about was the Hallwood development. There's a resolution to initiate condemning that property, that area. But always when we see that very legal term in the agenda, I know that there's more to this story. So can you catch me up on what's happening there?
Sure. So a little background also, when a city entity like the Plant Board decides to move forward with the process of condemnation, they have to do it under the city's name because we're the governing body. So while it will appear that the city of Moorhead is condemning property, it's actually all done through the Plant Board. Their attorney represents them through the entire process, as well as us under the city name. So this was a recommendation that came from the Plant Board itself, from their board, from their director, and then also from their attorney. And this is a project that has been in negotiation for over a year now, and unfortunately they were not able to come to a compromise or resolution. So the board felt best in order to keep the project moving for the benefit of everyone involved, including the community, that condemnation was the way they needed to go. That being said, there was a discussion last night that they're still open for negotiation if it can be done in a timely manner with the property owner.
Now, this particular property is near Walmart?
It is. So it's the Hallwood property, which the city annexed about 2 years ago. So if you're driving towards Walmart, it's a little bit before that on the left. And it's been a lot of work has been done on that property from the city, from the county, and from the property owners in the past, making it, you know, kind of prepared and really ready for a development if 1C fits there.
There was also a resolution passed to designate this month as City Government Month. I feel like I write a lot of stories about, like, September is this month, but there's like four or five different things. So why City Government Month?
Kentucky League of Cities, and actually nationally, September is recognized as City Government Month. But Kentucky League of Cities always has a lot of resources available and items for community to use in the month of September. And so we have a really fun project that we're doing. The league does an excellent job of putting a theme to the month. And so actually, if you have small children or anyone interested in superheroes, this is a little cheesy, but also a little bit fun. They have deemed the theme of this for kids, the municipals, as superheroes. And so myself and some city employees will be traveling to the schools this month dressed as these municipal superheroes. And we're going into the classrooms and just talking to kids about what the city does and what each of our jobs are. So we're really excited about that. You know, it's been a long year with COVID. And so to be able to go in and visit with kids and then also do something fun and silly is kind of a nice thought for the month.
And speaking of fun and silly and children, there's a spooky event coming up pretty soon. One of my favorite holidays, I have to add. But what's happening with Halloween this year?
Halloween is also my favorite holiday. I think I had decorations up by September 1st. So
as you should.
If not before then.
As you should.
Trick or Treat is currently scheduled for Saturday, October 30th from 6 to 8 p.m. And we know there's never a choice that pleases everyone when it comes to Trick or Treat. We're hoping for good weather. We're also hoping that everyone continues to follow guidance of the CDC for events like this, just to ensure the safety and health of yourself and your families and children. But we're excited to have Trick or Treat. We had it last year. So hopefully it'll be a great night full of fun for everyone who wants to participate.
And unfortunately, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Moorhead Mayor Laura White Brown, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.